Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Chris Kane. He's the founder of Six Ideas, as well as the author of Where Is My Office? Reimagining the Workplace for the 21st Century. Chris, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Christopher.
So I always love meeting people like you, Chris, because you have a lot of experience from different aspects and different industries, and you're currently in the UK, but you've traveled the world. And anyone that travels the world, it just makes for a more interesting conversation. So for you, tell us how you decided to write this book and why.
I guess a couple of reasons. One was that I was brought up to believe that everybody should spend as much time as they can learning. And it's not about going to school and then college and then going to work. You've got to stay as a lifelong learner, a lifelong student. And I never dreamt in my wildest dreams that I could get up to and have the good fortune to do some of the things I participated in, like being responsible for a £2 billion or dollar program. And I thought I'd wanted to give something back, almost to share some of the learnings. And in my industry, commercial real estate, it's an enigma wrapped up in a riddle, in that it's a very opaque industry. It doesn't do a very good job of engaging with its customer base. In fact, you will know if you lease property, the relationship is called landlord and tenant. Landlord and tenant is medieval and feudal. There's no such thing as a customer in the eyes of a realtor. That doesn't quite fit with 21st century thinking, don't you agree?
Yeah. And I love your book, by the way. So though you're in the commercial real estate business, the title is just so current and so prescient.
Yeah, well, once again, call it the luck of the Irish. I spent 6 years writing this book. I finished it around February 26th this year, sent the manuscript off to the publishers, Bloomsbury. They're a great publishing house, and I was so fortunate that they trusted me, an unproven author, to give this a go. But there was something about the title, and I came across the title when I was shaving one morning. I wanted to write a book, and I was, you know, I'd started doodling and all that, but I needed to get a title. And I said, you know, I've done all this work about offices, but really, with the move to agile working, Where's the office of the future? And I'd been asked to do a couple of keynote speeches when at the BBC, and people were saying, well, what do you think about, where are things heading? And then one of those brilliant flashes people get every now and again, where's my office? Leaders are going to ask, because if you think about a typical executive in any US corporation or any corporation around the world, he or she will spend many years getting up the totem pole, getting up to that top position. And what do you get with a top position? You get a special parking bay and you get the corner office. However, with the arrival of open plan and the disappearance of cubes and agile working and remote working, all of that is under threat. And having worked so hard for it, you could, and I've talked to various executives, they've said to me, oh yeah, like I don't really want to lose this, but I can see the point of maybe we need to work differently. Now, to work differently, you need a supply system, aka the real estate world, to work with you. And that's why I said, well, let's start by writing a book to help two sides of what is a very adversarial relationship normally to understand one another a bit better, and maybe by doing that they can cut even better deals, and maybe even, you know, I'm an optimist, born optimist, get to a win-win situation.
Now, that's great, Chris. I mean, I remember I used to work at American Express on Wall Street in New York, and even at that time the vast majority of our colleagues were working virtually at the time, and they didn't even call it virtually at the time. Yeah. Now 20 years later, especially with this pandemic, I remember reading an article very recently with Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, who's one of the most respected leaders in the world. He said that, look, 15% of our employees maybe are here now, but even post-COVID, we might have 40%. But the shift to the virtual world, the remote work, is not going to go away. And for you, it's very fascinating because, again, you are in that commercial space. So in theory, you might be concerned, but it sounds like you have a very, going back to what you said, an optimistic view. So what are some very key points about your book that, let's say a person now is afraid? There's literally been hundreds of millions of jobs that have been gone over the last year. And a lot of those jobs might not come back, but just moving forward, whether with AI, there's so many tectonic shifts that are happening. And since you have a front row seat for the commercial real estate world, I mean, aren't you frankly concerned or not concerned? I'm just curious from your perspective.
I think if I were taking a traditionalist view, the real estate sector is one of the last sectors in the world that is facing disruption, because it never had to do face disruption before, because people always needed space.
Yeah.
And we probably hit peak office in the last couple of years, in that, you know, I mean, we just have too much of it. But also, it's not about the space anymore. It's about the people who occupy these buildings. And everybody out there at the moment, the big fear factor is the pandemic and catching this dreadful COVID-19. So that fear factor is now part of the equation, along with where do I want to work? Do I want to continue commuting? You take the Bay Area in California, the average one-way commute now is almost 2 hours. So that's 4 hours every day people spend sitting in traffic jams trying to get to their place of work. Is that logical? I ask myself. And more people are asking these fundamental questions. I was very lucky that Mark Thompson, the former CEO of the New York Times, was my old boss at the BBC, and he very kindly wrote the foreword to my book. And in it, he said, COVID has brought on questions we were already starting to ask ourselves around, can we get by without offices? And I don't think we can, but I think the office as a concept, as a 20th century concept, is, or a system, I think is obsolete, is not obsolete, but the system around it about how we lease the space and how we consume it is obsolete. We need to look broader than just leasing space. We need to think about flexible space, and we need to think about on-demand space. And we need to think about maybe somebody, say, who lives in Long Island and commutes into Manhattan, maybe they don't do that Monday to Friday anymore. Maybe if they've got the luxury of being able to work from home, they work from home. Or there may well be a local work hub which doesn't require a commute. So the permutations are opening up, and what COVID has done is been a huge accelerant to changes that were already happening, and coping with this, along with all the other changes, you rightly said, there's going to be big changes to white collar work anyway. Automation and virtual working are now a reality. And I think the economic challenges corporates are facing post-COVID means that they're really going to rethink the world of offices, which is a challenge for a lot of people who've done traditional work. But human beings are fairly resilient, and there should be enough scope out there to adopt to do different types of jobs. I don't think there's going to be mass unemployment. What I think there will be a big restructuring about how we use and consume commercial real estate.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, obviously, I would wish we had more time, but ultimately, love your book and the concept, Chris. And since you did work at Walt Disney at one point for a number of years, and as you mentioned quite vividly, that it was such an inspiring company to work for. So as you look forward in the next 10, 20 years, using the thing you learned at Walt Disney, what do you think that Walt Disney, working at such a global brand, taught you about writing your book or about being an entrepreneur? What's the one quality that you take away from Walt Disney that hopefully can inspire all of us to reimagine the workplace in the 21st century?
I think given these dreadful circumstances we're all trying to navigate through at the moment, it's one about gaining fresh perspectives. And Walt's old saying, if you can dream it, you can do it.
Awesome. That's a perfect way to end our podcast. Chris, how can our guests connect with you, buy your book, and learn from you?
Yeah, the simplest thing is that I've set up a very simple web, where's my office.com. that'll direct you to where you can get the book, and it'll also direct you to my my contact details.
Perfect. Chris, thank you again for your time.
Have a great day. Lovely to chat to you. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.